Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
A Central College professor has a new book. Let's go in-depth with Walter Cannon, professor of English at Central College and author of The Possible World. So, Walter, why does the world need poets?
Well, I think the world needs many voices. I think we need to hear many, many poetic voices. And I think there are lots of things that poets can do, lots of things that poetry can do. Seamus Heaney talks about poetry as a form of redress, as a way of making the world right. I think poetry asks us to see the world in a different way. I think it forces us out of our complacency. It's been described as maybe the language within a language, and because of that, you know, it causes us to think about our words, think about the connection between words and thought, and to the extent that the thought precedes action, it may just cause us to act in different ways, maybe in ways that are more civil, more humane, and more restorative.
Well, I guess if you think like a poet and you put pencil to paper, fingers to keyboard, or whatever, you're immediately, and you're writing about something or expressing an emotion, I guess you're immediately being more thoughtful than most of us are, than just as we go about our daily lives, right?
Well, yes, I think that poetry asks us to slow down. And one of the great causes of human disaster is speed. Tend to run into things when we're going too fast to see what we're doing, and both literally and metaphorically. And if more of us would take some time and think before we engaged our voices, we might be living in a better place. I grew up in Nebraska, and the speech there is very slow, I think because there are so few people, and people enjoyed talking to each other. There was no point in having a quick conversation because there was nothing else out there, and you appreciated, talking to each other. It was not unusual to see two pickup trucks parked in the middle of a road and two guys, having a conversation. You'd have to just drive around them.
Well, now we're too busy speeding in opposite directions oftentimes.
Right, right. And, the highways have a median in the middle to keep us apart from each other, and that works in a kind of metaphorical way as well, I think. Speed of communication does not necessarily make for better communication. Can't tell you how many emails I've had misinterpreted, and it's no accident, I think, that people who have set up emailing have all these emoticons available to us, because we're so inept at conveying the kind of context and the kind of emotion that language offers, that we have to include those little things to let people know that we're being ironic or funny or sad or whatever.
And they can't get it from our facial expression, from the tone of our voice.
Yeah, well, they can't pick it up from the language that we're using in the email, because we're too fast or we're too uncareful or uncaring to think very much about what it is that we're we're typing in there, keyboarding in there, and you know, we're not writing with any real nuance.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Walter Cannon, professor of English at Central College and author of the new book, The Possible World. So, why are you a poet?
Well, I'm fascinated by language, and I'm fascinated by the way that language makes me see things differently. I'm fascinated by the way certain phrases seem to make me think and feel differently and in extraordinary ways. For example, the title of this little chapbook that has come out is called The Possible World. And it wasn't until after I had written the line and decided, but it's a line from one of the poems in the collection. But I hadn't realized until later that that there might be a pun there. The possible world, as in swirling around, and maybe this set of poems has the effect of whirling us around possibility, and so it's the way that language can function to make that insight or that realization or that partially baked idea possible. That's fascinating to me.
Well, yeah, and the possible world, that title sort of has some interesting philosophical implications in that, you know, the world we're sitting here describing, you know, that we're interacting in right now as we speak in your office is just a possible one, right?
Right, exactly. Right. There are lots of alternative worlds and maybe worlds that other people would think of as more real than this world that we're in. You and I are in this one world here, and other people wouldn't acknowledge its existence or validity at all.
Yeah, or recognize it or have any idea of it. But then also, let's say that things could have changed. You know, I could have slipped on the ice and this whole interaction would have been postponed, perhaps, and delayed, and who knows what could have happened.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Possibility, contingency. Reminds me of a great little poem by Wallace Stevens called July Mountain, and he says we live. Trying to think of how this thing starts. Let's see. We live in a possible world. So we live in a constellation of patches and pitches, not in a single world. In things said well, in music on the piano, or in a page of poetry, thinkers without final thought. In an always incipient cosmos, the way when we climb a mountain, Vermont throws itself together. So it's like from a certain perspective, Vermont or whatever we're dealing with ends up making sense. But we're all living in little bits and pieces, and all of these have the possibility for coming together in different ways. We're all particles, and you know, it's up to us to get the right perspective to put them together in a certain way. It might be you know, the metaphor of climbing a mountain and looking down is instructive there, I think.
Well, I have to tell people, you just went and searched for the opening couple of words, and then the rest of that you remembered.
Mostly, yeah. Right.
Yeah. And so those words have such power to you that you etched them in memory.
Well, I think that's the other quality that poetry has that maybe other kinds of writing don't have. We don't remember our insurance forms or our bank statements. Well, maybe we remember those, but for other reasons. But we do remember poetry because it's written in a careful way that pays attention to how language operates. And I think if we do it right, the lines are memorable. They have lots of bits and pieces of poetry from the ages circulating around in our heads and in our culture. Lots of stuff from Shakespeare, for example, that have become a part of our, I don't know, general knowledge, I guess, way of looking at things.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Walter Cannon, professor of English at Central College, and author of the new book, The Possible World. Well, sitting down here before we talked, I sort of thumbed through your new book, and I saw some titles, and it seems like you've been influenced by the area, the weather, other kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what role does where you live in Pella, in Iowa, and I guess your roots in Nebraska influence your work?
Yeah, I don't think we can. I don't think we can be placeless. I think we are always a product of the place from which we come, and those memories of landscape and people are etched in us, whether we like it or not, whether we find it. Boring or whether we want to escape from it, those things are there in an irrevocable way. I mean, Joyce had to escape from Ireland. I mean, he needed to get out of Dublin, but that's all he wrote about. It was etched on his mind in an indelible way. I think a lot of Midwestern writers, I teach this course in Midwestern literature, and a lot of Midwestern writers have a kind of anxiety or tension about being from the Midwest and writing about the Midwest and wanting to be elsewhere. But they're always engaged with the landscape. And they're always engaged with comparing it, perhaps with something else. I mean, they can't really escape it at all.
Hmm. Well, do you have a poem you'd like to read to us?
Well, I think I'll read this one. It's called "The Abandoned Homestead of Exiles," which is a line by Adam Zagajewski, who's a Polish poet. And I was reminded of my mother and her family by this line. My mother's parents emigrated from Pomerania, which is a German-speaking part of Poland. And so I was thinking about her when I came across this line. I was thinking about her farmhouse that I got to see right before it was bulldozed. It was in a state of ruins, and a little farmhouse on the edge of Seward, Nebraska. Amazing when I saw it that 11 children had grown up in that house. It didn't seem much bigger than four or five bedrooms. I don't know how they did it. But anyway, this is the poem about that that visit, the abandoned homestead of exiles. At the abandoned homestead of exiles, sedge stalks a listing silo, cement angled into a sullen sky. Pockmarked stones pressed into the hill hold the sag of barn, warped gray boards and bark timbers propped against all weathers. The porch roof slopes off the shoulder of the house, disheveled, wanton, and windowless now, beyond doors. Gravel submerged under thin timothy, muffles clicks under my careless boot on the useless path between barn and house, my mother's house, where shingles lie cracked open, the rain weeping in.
And you'll be doing a public reading Thursday, the 30th, correct?
That's right. That's right. In the Geisler Library in the reading room. I hope to see you there.
Thanks to Walter Cannon for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.